We've entered into chapter 4 of the letter to the Romans. The way the letter is constructed, Paul sets out doctrine. Then he confirms it with Scripture. So chapter 4 is telling us about Abraham's faith, because he's been talking about faith since chapter 1, 2, and 3. Then 5, he'll start with justification and so forth, and end it in, well, 8 in a way, but then 9, 10, and 11 are all about faith and the future of Israel. So, all Paul wants to point out here, all, it's got nothing to do with law. It was not through the law that the promise was made to Abraham and his descendants that he would inherit the world, but through the righteousness that comes from faith. For this reason, it depends on faith, so that it may be a gift and the promise may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not to those who only adhere to the law, but to those who follow the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, in the one who gives life to the dead and calls into being what does not exist. He believed, hoping against hope, that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, thus shall your descendants be. So Paul is trying to point out to us, well, what is faith? See, it's yielding to a work of God. Aquinas, commenting on this section of Romans, says, you see, that the act of faith is the first act which God works in the believer, by which he submits to the righteousness of God and receives its effect. That's a very important text. Yes, we have a role to play, but it's to agree. It's not to create. St. Bernard has a whole treatise on grace and free will. And the phrase occurs, I don't remember, no, 12, it's a short treatise, 12, 15 times. Consentire salvari est. To consent is to be saved. And of course, he's a great literary genius, Bernard. Consentire can mean think along with or to agree. And he means both. To agree is to be saved. Well, you say, that's pretty easy. We just got to agree. We are so stupid and so proud that we will not relinquish control and let the Lord move in us, create in us. So much so that St. John of the Cross says that the key moment in the dark night of the Spirit, you see, is an heroic act of hope. I can't do it. Now, that's what Paul is trying to get at here, you see. He believed the promise. He didn't think he could bring it about. Now, in the gospel, we're still in this preaching commission, you see. I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others... They're so nervous about using the word man. It says before men, doesn't say before others in the text. It's all right, it's not the end of the world. But you see, he means everybody, but that word anthropos or homo or even man is a generic term. Anyway, we're not going to change it all now. Whoever acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. You know what that means? Huh? That if I don't yield, if I don't get frightened, if I continue to preach and acknowledge and proclaim Jesus, Jesus will do that for me in front of the Father. That's what it means. I promise you. And so that's what he's saying. Then he goes on, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. That's pretty heavy. Well, how do we blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? Well, at one end, it's just saying blasphemous things against the Holy Spirit or to the Holy Spirit. But it also means not paying any attention to him. He is the gift. We don't know it, but the reason we're here in chapel this morning listening to the Word of God is because the Holy Spirit moved us here. You see? Now when they take you before synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not worry about how or what your defense will be or what you are to say. Now here's a promise. The Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment what you are to say. You don't have to worry about that. And if you read, we have them one way or another every morning, the wisdom, the force, the power, the courage of those who are to be martyred. There's a famous story. Saints Felicity and Perpetua were thrown into jail to be thrown out into the Colosseum, to be eaten by wild beasts, perhaps degraded first because they're women, but then to be... Perpetua was a Roman nobility. And Felicity was her maid. But Felicity was pregnant. So in jail, she's giving birth. So she's moaning and groaning with the effort to give birth. And the jailer hollers in, if you're moaning and groaning like that here, what are you going to do when they put you out there in the Colosseum? She said, I'm not worried about that. Here, I'm suffering. There, another will suffer in me. It's that... You see, and that's what's being said here. The Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. Well, we could start to pray for that, even though we're not in danger, immediate, of any kind of persecution, except the kinds that are already happening with Obamacare and all that type of thing. And now the Army, if I read this correctly, the U.S. Army has decided that Catholics are a dangerous cult or something like that. I just saw it. Did anybody else see that? Yeah, that I'm not nuts. It really was said. Well, the Lord's telling us it's going to happen. Why? Anybody who believes in God and loves Jesus is an affront. Don't bother me with that. I've got money. I've got pleasure. I've got a nice position. I'm in good with the government. So don't bother me with that. And this way he says, you see, don't worry about those who can kill the body. Think about the one who could deny you as you denied him.